The Trump administration is pushing a plan to change the way Medicaid is funded. The system covers low-income Americans, generally including kids, the disabled, pregnant women, and in some cases, so-called childless adults. It's paid for based on per income capita for each state, with the state putting in a certain amount of money and the feds matching that. Under the new proposal, the amount states could get would be capped, and the federal government would provide states something very similar to block grants. Joining me to talk more about this is Swapna Reddy, a clinical assistant professor at the College of Health Solutions at ASU. And Swapna, how would this potential change things?
What happens is when any of those individuals qualify for Medicaid and have gone through the process of applying and attaining Medicaid, they are entitled to the benefits of Medicaid for as long as they continue to be eligible. So that's sort of the entitlement piece. And the other important piece with the entitlement program is that really, there's no cap on how much the federal government will give the states. The proposal that was put out on Thursday was that actually kind of this option, and option is an important word here because not all states will have to do this. States will have to opt into this new program. And by the way, very careful, she was very careful to not use the word block grant. So the name of this program is called the Healthy Adult Opportunity Program. And what that will do is for states that opt in, there's actually a cap on how much the states will contribute and a cap on how much the federal government will contribute. So working in the way that we generally have seen block grants work without using that language block grant in many cases, which is a set amount of money that the federal government will give the states to provide services to that Medicaid population. Important to note that adults that are on that, this is really for adults under 65, and it's supposed to not include children or the disabled.
So under this new system, then, would that mean that the state and the feds have a set amount of money going toward Medicaid, regardless of how many people are enrolled or what kind of services they need or anything like that?
Yeah. So and this is, you know, the nuance is always in the details, right? The devil's always in the details. So what the language around the Healthy Adult Opportunity Program has been very specific that, again, they claim that this is not a block grant and that this will really not impact that traditional Medicaid population, which, again, tends to be children and the disabled. Right. And so who it will really largely impact are those that are kind of very low income adults without children and those that are not disabled. So what this will affect effectively do is give states the opportunity to, quote unquote, innovate quite a bit with the money that they have. So it gives states the opportunity to limit drugs that are covered. It could open the door for charging premiums and things like work requirements associated with Medicaid coverage. And so I think it really opens the door quite widely for states to be able to decide what to do with that money and how best to use that money to cover that population that tends to not be our traditional Medicaid population.
Right. And that, of course, was the population at the heart of the Medicaid expansion debate in Arizona when Governor Brewer was leading that effort several years back, the so-called childless adult population. I'm wondering what kind of implications this kind of program could have for a state like Arizona, which specifically voted to include that population under Medicaid.
Yeah. So really important piece there is that we are, you know, a place like Arizona is a Medicaid expansion state, right? So the question is what happens to them, right? Because if, and we really have no real language to indicate how Arizona feels about this or how leadership in Arizona feels about opting in to the Healthy Adult Opportunity, but these individuals would primarily be the ones that would be impacted by whatever changes, innovation, capped approaches would take place if Arizona was to opt in. So it could have, you know, pretty incredible implications, not just for those populations, but for all of the kind of health systems, delivery of care, insurers, hospitals, and all of the cottage industries that are based on our healthcare system here in Arizona. It would, I think, have a tremendous impact on all of those stakeholders.
Now, the Trump administration and other supporters of this proposal argue that it would be more cost effective. It would cost less money. What are some of the other potential advantages to doing Medicaid this way?
Yeah, well, you know, there's always different sides to consider. And I think from the cost savings perspective, you know, one benefit of a block grant approach or approaches that look like a block grant is that states are able to budget their needs for the year. And Medicaid, it's very difficult to budget, right? Now, in Arizona, we actually have what is considered one of the best managed Medicaid programs in the country. You know, it's often called the gold standard. Our access program is actually called the gold standard because we tend to be pretty good at managing costs. So, you know, that ability to manage budgets is incredibly important depending on what narrative you take. Another piece is, you know, there is a narrative that when you are able to innovate in the Medicaid space, you are potentially able to have more control, have more kind of targeted interventions. I have a much more targeted approach to how you run that program that is more specific to the needs of the people of your state. So that's another kind of narrative. And you know, there's sort of the final narrative about kind of fiscal responsibility. And you know, there's certainly a narrative and that's definitely coming out of the administration and a more conservative viewpoint on public health insurance programs, which is, should we have entitlement programs or should we have kind of a safety net that's based on a certain amount of help? And does that certain amount of help encourage people to lift themselves out of poverty or not? But I think while considering that narrative, it's really important to say, okay, in the effort to kind of meet this kind of budget constraints and the effort to control costs, where is the human cost? And do we have a plan for that human cost?
So understanding, again, as you said, that we don't have a ton of details about a lot of the specifics of this program, but would it be your expectation that if this program were to go into effect and if Arizona were to opt into it, that Access would offer fewer services or cover fewer services and cover fewer medications than it does now?
You know, it's hard to say, Mark, because, again, we have such limited information here. But I think, you know, if we are not going to have the same amount of funding, if we opt in as Arizona and not have the same amount of funding as we had in the past, you know, there's kind of a natural progression as to how are we going to limit funding. And one kind of quick and easy way is to limit the type of drugs that are covered, limit the type of procedures that are covered. But then also these other pieces, which we've already kind of indicated as a state we're interested in, things like work requirements, right? We filed the waiver, the 1115 waiver to be able to have work requirements for a Medicaid program. And then we kind of put the brakes on it right before the rollout was supposed to happen in January because, you know, work requirements nationally are kind of tied up in the courts. But we've already kind of indicated the direction that we would probably go with Medicaid if probably given more latitude and maybe things were a little bit clearer from the legal stance. So I don't know how else we would control these costs. I don't know how else we would innovate in this space to be able to maintain within a fixed amount of money if we're not reducing care, if we're not reducing the amount of drugs and access for this population. I simply don't know what the other answer is.
Mm-hmm. All right, that is Swapna Reddy, Clinical Assistant Professor at the College of Health Solutions at ASU. Swapna, as always, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.